Praise the Lord. Father, we approach your word now, and we do so with reverence and respect and awe, and we do so with hungry hearts desiring to feed spiritually, to be nourished, to receive light and revelation. Now, Father, you've appointed this day, this time, this message. Help me to deliver as you would have me to. Help the hearer to hear what you have for them to hear. And Father, there'll be much light and much fruit, much thanksgiving and rejoicing as a result. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Luke 11 and the 9th verse. Jesus, of course, speaking. Now, we already noted the last 2 weeks, the disciples asked Jesus, teach them to pray. And he gave us what we might call a model prayer or the Lord's Prayer earlier. And among those things was, give us this day our daily bread, asking for today's provisions today. If you wondered, how do you pray and believe and how do you receive? Well, there's an indication that you do so on a daily basis. And so Jesus tells you to ask for daily bread, not bread for the year. Walk with the Lord day by day, not just once a year. And then he teaches us the story of the man who has guests arrive, wants to late at night, wants to put bread, wants to feed them something, doesn't have any, so he goes to a neighbor, knocks on the door, asks for bread. The neighbor finally comes to and speaks through the door, I'm not going to open for you, it's late, my children are in our bed, you know, this is kind of rude, all of that. And the story goes on that he keeps on asking, keeps on knocking and so on. And Jesus tells us why he tells the story and the principle of the story. He says, because of the man's persistence, his neighbor will open the door to him. So we see that Jesus teaches persistence right after he teaches prayer. And you could connect the two, being persistent in prayer. First of all, there are several kinds of prayer. There's not all one kind of prayer. There is, of course, the prayer of petition that people are most familiar with, where you ask God for something. And when Jesus taught, give us this day our daily bread, he was teaching a petition prayer. But there's prayers of thanksgiving. There's prayers of consecration. There's all kinds of, there's prayers of agreement. James mentions the prayer of faith will save the sick. So what I just listed off four right there, and I know there's more than that. Different kinds of prayer. There are people who love to play sports. Well, if you're going to play a game, you have to know what are the particulars of that game. You don't play volleyball with NFL football rules. You know, somebody's got the ball, knock them down to the ground, tackle them. No, that's not how you play volleyball. So the same is true in prayer. There are specific rules for each type of prayer. And if you try to lump them all together, you're going to have a mess and be very ineffective. So there are different kinds of prayer. You should know what kind of prayer are you praying. He then goes on to say, which of you, though you are evil, knowing how to give good gifts, though you are natural, would be another way to say that. I'm paraphrasing all of this, of course. It's there in Luke 11. But how much more will your heavenly Father give? In Luke it says the Holy Spirit. In Matthew it says good things or good gifts to his children. So you see that Jesus, in teaching about prayer, teaches about persistence, teaches about God gives good things. How much more will God give his children good things? And then it gets to this summation after all of that. It says, so. And when you see the word so in English, we know that wrapping this all together and making the point why I said all of this is here. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So I saw something here, and I've been teaching the last 2 weeks, where Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Everybody I've been talking to in the last couple of weeks has basically had the same thought on this, that was just three ways of saying one thing. Ask, seek, knock. In other words, it's how you drive a point home is repeat it three times, right? But it seemed like I was reading through this and suddenly I could see something I never saw before. And posed the question, what if they're not all one thing, but they're three separate things? And as I thought about that, each of them, and then did some digging in, looking, I found out I've been doing this in three steps all of my faith walk, especially since 1983, 84, and I didn't even realize it. The Bible is simple. The teachings of God are simple, yet sometimes not well understood. So he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. And then verse 10, let's emphasize that one again. Everyone who asks receives. What if we took that at face value? Jesus said it, and that's it. It's just always true. Every one of us in this room, everyone, whoever would hear my voice on this, you have asked, you've not seen what you've asked for materialize, and you have therefore reasoned, deducted, decided, concluded, well, the answer was no, because it didn't come. Maybe that's not true. So I posed that question even the first week we talked on this. Why would Jesus say these three things? And I believe the reason is because they're not the same thing. They're three different things. If they're three different things, they need to be thought of, analyzed, practiced separately and distinctly and on purpose. And so, of course, the first one is ask. Ask God for something. And Jesus indeed did teach us to ask. And we looked at a bunch of scriptures last week. It says, everyone who asks receives. Now, I noticed something here. It doesn't even say every believer who asks. Do unbelievers sometimes pray and ask God for things? Probably every one of us before we were a believer prayed and asked God for things. I don't see where Jesus excludes unbelievers. Wow. Did he just say that? Yeah, I did. And you probably know in your before Christ days or others that are not believers that they've asked and God has done things for them. Yeah. Everyone who asks receives. Of course, again here, refer to last week's message. I think and there were more than the scriptures we looked at. Everyone who asks receives. In him, the promises are yes and amen. But if one doesn't know that there's a step two and a step three, one might think that you must keep doing step one over and over and over. Well, that's not going to work. If you have a three-step process in anything and you just keep doing step one and you don't do step two and three, you are not going to get the result. Is that right? Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. This word knock in the Greek language, Jesus had talked about knocking on the door to receive bread for that man in the parable before, right? And we think sometimes it's just stand and physically strike it and make a noise. But one of the alternate definitions of the word says it can mean not just knock, but knock over or knock down. That's a whole different thought. Because I don't know about your church upbringing, if you had one. If you didn't, you might have some advantage there. But in my church upbringing, you know, we were taught knock on the door, knock on the door. And if the door's closed, God's closed the door and it won't open. That they would teach us that if it's the will of God, he'll open the door. If it's not the will of God, the door won't open. So you follow open doors. But I have learned since then that the enemy understands that people follow open doors. Yes. People pray, God, if it's you, make it smooth and easy. Yes. And the smooth and easy way, Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that go in. Wide is the way to destruction. So when you're looking for the smooth and easy way, you may be barreling toward destruction. We're not led by hard or easy. We're led by God and His Scriptures. And so when it says knock on the door, it may mean knock that door down. Amen. Sometimes fulfilling the will of God and going His direction is a fight. It's not going to be smooth and easy. Lord, just make it smooth and easy. That's a prayer He cannot answer. Now, if you say, Lord, give me the strength and help me to make it through every obstacle and challenge, now He's with you. Now, that's something He can answer. Amen. We see that the word knock might mean knock it down. Also, when it says ask, the word ask, you think of as a polite request. Yes, it means that. The Greek dictionary says, in some contexts, it means demand. And I remember discussing this in the denominational church where I grew up, you know, before the Lord called us out and moved us on and all that, and that this scripture here and others, every place where it uses the word ask, it can mean demand. And oh, I had a fight on my hand with some of the saints in the church there. You can't demand anything. You're supposed to be content with food and clothing, and that's it, you know. But I found different in the scriptures. It says in some contexts it means demand. Well, what are we to demand? But we demand a closed door open when we know the will of God is to go through that door. We demand a mountain be moved and be cast into the sea. We demand a sycamore tree be uprooted and cast into the sea, and so on. There are places where we make the demand upon things. Now, I gave two examples last week, a demand of where you speak to things and circumstance, and one where somebody demanded God do the right thing. We looked at Abraham in the discourse where the Lord was telling Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The outcry of their sin is great. And Abraham said, Lord, if there be 50 righteous, will you not spare the city for 50 righteous? And Abraham kept going down to 10. But one of the things he said to the Lord, and I see the boldness, and I see when you're on right legal standing, this is what you do. He said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? In other words, Abraham was saying, if you don't do what I'm asking, you're not right. Now, who would say that to God? Only someone who knows God and knows how God has, shall we say, restricted Himself. People like to say God's in control of everything. He's not. You know, God can do anything. He can't. It says, for instance, that God cannot lie. So that and other restrictions He has placed upon Himself. And He must do the right thing. Well, if it's right according to a man, you know, God knows better what's right. However, when you take His definition, meaning His word that He's revealed to us, and you present Him, your word says this, shall you not keep your word? That's a demand. That's a challenge. It'd be no different from having a contract with someone and they violate a term of the contract and you take that contract and you go, you see what this says. You have to do that. And we are invited, Isaiah and even other places, the Lord says, come, let us reason together. State your case. Plead your case. Think like a lawyer. And you take a clause from His word and you bring it to Him and say, your word says this. Now, how about it? I will have what your word says. Amen. I mean, I did this morning on the way driving to church. Last night, I'm sitting with Pastor Sandy watching a Western in the recliner. I didn't have the legs all the way up. I had them just part way. She's getting to where she's liking the legs down a bit more. And she says, look, Dan, and both legs are going up like this, up and down like that. And she said, I can almost walk, you know. Yeah. And I'm pretty happy about that, right? But I was thinking about, well, that's the legs, her feet, with that drop foot they call that, you know. They tell you that once that happens, the tendons and the muscles shorten, and it never goes back. And that's what they say. So on the way in here, I'm saying, now, Lord, you said, I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal. Now, not being able to stand on her feet flat on the floor, that's not restored. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right, keep his word? You said you've come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, it wouldn't be abundant if she couldn't stand on her feet, flat on her feet. Amen. So there was about three scriptures that I said like that. And I said, now, Lord, that's enough to prove the point. There's more. But you will keep your word. I'm expecting you to keep your word. I know what they say. This would be a miracle, God. And that's exactly why I'm trusting you, because you are the miracle worker. This is exactly why I'm turning to you and demanding you do this, because only you can. Amen. Do you know that pleases God? When someone expects him to do his word? We have a word for that. Faith. Amen. Anyway, praise the Lord. So sometimes it's demand. And don't think of it as rude. Think of it as God laid out a contract and an agreement before you. And when you expect him to keep his word, that is a demand. Everyone understands when you present a U.S. $1 bill at some sort of a business or with another person, that that is a demand to recognize the value. So when we go to God, we can make a demand that he recognizes his word and keeps it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 John 5:14. If we were to understand, we ask, and then there's no doubt, if it's according to his word, and we looked at that last week, according to his will, and we'll see it here as well. If we ask, we have. And if you got that settled, if we got that settled, we would be well on our way to the remaining steps to seeing it materialize in our lives. 1 John 5:14, now this is the confidence that we have. How many people pray in confidence? How many people pray wondering, hoping? Maybe I hope this is the right prayer. No, confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Now that shows you better determine what his will is. And before you ask for something, maybe you better spend some time determining what does he want for you, what does he have for you, concerning, let's say, healing in the body. Get that settled. What's his will? Is it his will to heal your body? Because if you're not sure about that, you won't ask in confidence. And you'll never enter faith. It's playing a lottery at that point in time. But when you established by the word, by revelation and prayer with him, and so on, when you establish what is inside of his will, it says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So this is maybe the biggest of the things we're looking at here, because I think when this gets settled, the other two fall into place sort of naturally. If you know that you know that you know that you know that the will of God is for you to be healed, to prosper, and you ask, and you know that he heard you, and you know that he answered in the affirmative. You know, most of the time we can go to the scriptures and we have the answer before the question. So the only thing you're determining is, does that apply to me? Is that mine? But we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Oh, you are 99% there if that gets settled. And if you don't see the answer yet, it doesn't mean it's time to ask again. Because what if He already said yes? You know, I mean, Pastor Sandy's in a state right now where she forgets what happened a minute or two ago, what she said, so she asks over and over and over on certain things, you know. And if you tell her yes, and a minute later she asks yes, and if you don't have compassion and understanding for a brain injury like that, you know, you can get frustrated. I said yes already. Come on, would you shut up?
I'm sorry, Dan. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Sorry. It's not your fault. And maybe God has as much compassion on you and I, but to a point, and at some point in time, yes, I will admit, I have faked falling asleep so she stops. And other times actually fall asleep. Or just flat out ignore her as she wears you down, right? We do that with the Lord. We do that with God. And so no amount of continuing to ask changes. Yes, 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 yes. She keeps asking about, I want to go to bed. Well, she shouldn't be in bed so many hours, you know. And as finally I'm starting to tell her a bedtime. And it's working a little better. But now she asks, well, what time is it? Amen. Amen. So, anyone and everyone who asks God for blessing and benefit receives. Boy, if you just knew that. I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. But it requires faith to seek and to knock. It requires faith. The next two steps require faith. It's so clear in Mark 11, 23, 24, and we'll review that once more before we finish today. This is where so many stumble because they think asking is all that's required and then it's all up to God. Not true. I mean, maybe you were here in this position. Certainly you know Christians like this. I asked God, as if they've done their part. There's nothing more to do. And, you know, God's mysterious. You never know. Well, I know. I'll never forget, but this super Christian nurse that come to talk to us in the hospital about said to me, for Sandy, God sometimes answers yes, sometimes answers no. Obviously, this time the answer is no. Concerning healing for her, she was comatose. We were a few weeks into the hospitalization that had happened there. And I said to her, no, you can know God's answer, not by circumstances. He will answer you. You can know God's answer by His Word. She was frustrated with me. I was frustrated with her. And I realized, what are you going to do? To her, and this was after several run-ins, and they sent their super Christian over to talk to us, and this is the best they got, that you're supposed to look at what's happening, and apparently that's the will of God. And if somebody's not doing well, it's God's will that they die. You know, that was the first thing I asked God. The moment she was down and it was serious, Lord, what do you say about this? I asked Him. And once He answered me and I knew, no super Christian nurse is going to be able to talk me out of it. I already had God's answer. Amen. But you can wear down. Anyway, it's not all up to God. People are often stuck at stage one. Ask and ask and ask and ask repetitively. Jesus taught, don't pray like the heathens do, who think for their many words, their much repetition over and over and over, that they'll be heard. Amen. You're not heard because of repetition. Shall I kill a few more sacred cows while I'm here? You're not heard because you get a lot more people involved. Prayer chains, calling ministries. You're not heard because of the assumed status of who's praying. It's not going to be better because Brother Copeland prays for it. It's not going to be better because I pray for it rather than you. It's not, Sister so-and-so, she's great in prayer. Now, you might recruit someone to agree with you in prayer. And, one should put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. But those two better agree in faith. Amen. And it says, call for the elders, anointing with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The thought is somebody's so beat down, they get someone like an elder to come alongside them, and the elder prays a prayer of faith because right now they're not so capable of standing in faith themselves. So, yeah, there's some things there. That's true. But you're not heard because you get all the right people praying. I can't tell you how many times growing up in church and then even early years, people would say things like, we got to get as many people praying as we can. Now, there is a power in corporate prayer. There is a power in the body of Christ joining together, saying things like praying for a nation. There is value to a church-wide meeting praying for, again, our nation or something like that. There is value in that. But we're not heard extra because of it. All it takes is one individual praying in faith. So it's not repetition. It's not who's praying. It's not how many is praying. It's not where you pray. It's not your posture when you pray. I guess it comes up, so I'll say it again. Killing some sacred cows. It's the humility covering your heart, not the cloth over your head. Now, if someone says, well, I like to pray with a prayer cloth over my head. Well, first of all, you're taking a step backwards into the old covenant. But secondly, if you want to do that, I don't think it discounts the Lord hearing you, but it's not helping either. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't say, for without a prayer cloth. It doesn't say, without kneeling. You fill in the blank. Some people sound beautiful when they pray. That don't make it better. Some people pray the word when they pray. And, now there you got something. Remember, James wrote to us to ask in faith with no doubting. And there are people who are asking, but they're doubting. And the repetition shows the doubting. The repetition shows the doubting. Because, I guess he didn't hear. Or I guess, I don't know. I got to show God how committed I am. I'm going to ask every day. God, I'm going to come here every day. No, he's more impressed. There were two in the Gospels where Jesus said, great faith. I have not found such great faith, no, not in all of Israel. One of them was a Roman centurion. And a Roman centurion sent a messenger, you don't have to come to my house. I changed that instruction. I wasn't even worthy to come before you. Just say the word. And Jesus went, phew, what great faith. All they want me to do is speak a word. Now, we should be like that. Lord, just say the word. And in most cases, he already has. And we are to go our way expecting from there. It's all it takes. One word from God. Will I ever get there? When one asks, one receives. If this is true, that ask, seek, and knock were in fact, let's say, three steps in a process instead of not all the same thing, there's going to be examples in the Word. And there are, in fact, many. Let's move to step two, seeking. What is it to seek? 2 Kings 5, and we're going to start at verse 10. This is a story of Naaman, who was a Syrian, a foreigner, not a covenant man. But he came down with leprosy. Naaman has a captive servant girl who says, Naaman, master, if only you could see the prophet of God in Israel, you would be healed of your leprosy. So he says, yeah, I'll go see the prophet of Israel and petition God to heal me. He's asking to be healed, right? He shows up at the door of the prophet, which is Elisha. And Elisha doesn't come to the door, but sends his servant. And the servant hears the request, goes to Elisha. Elisha sends the servant back. And we'll pick that up at verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go. Remember when we defined seek in the Greek, it means to find the location of a thing. Right now already, just seeing the word go, the prophet is saying to Naaman, your answer's not here. He's not saying you don't have an answer. He's saying your answer is somewhere else. The answer is yes, but it's not here. The answer is yes, but the answer's not here. Let that sink in. You get this revelation, and it will set you off on a walk of faith that you'll find actually easy to do. The answer is yes, but your answer's not here, standing in this place. He says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Now, I'll give you a clue going forward. What is it? You can already figure this out. Where is the blessing? Where is his answer? It's in the Jordan River. It's not at Elisha's house. The answer is yes, not even a believer, not a covenant man. The answer is yes, but the answer is not here at Elisha's house. The answer is where? At the Jordan. That's step two. Seek. Where's the blessing? Where's the blessing? Where? I got to locate my blessing. And here, and we're going to see several, many times the answer will be in a different location from where you are, physically, or even more of a spiritual thing, a place of the heart. You know, there may be variations on this. But notice the answer was not no. The answer is yes. But it's not here at the house. Go. Now, peeking forward a little bit, how did he knock on the door? He knew the answer is in the river. That's the seek. That question's answered. I found it. Where is it? In the river. How do you knock on the door? Wash in the Jordan 7 times. And we'll get to that. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of his Lord, of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Wow. Don't you know who I am? I'm somebody important. His answer would not have been in recognition of somebody important. There's no answer there. Do you know who I am? Doesn't matter. Humble yourself. And he said, surely he'll stand, call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place, heal the rest, the leprosy. So let me ask you a question here. Did God give Naaman what he asked for? Yes. In fact, he told him where the blessing is. And he told him how to knock the door down. But God did not give it the way that Naaman thought he would. Oh, what a trap. And you and I both have fallen into that so many times. I'm going to go to church. The pastor's going to have, first of all, the praise and worship band's going to get it today. And the anointing's going to drop. and the glory cloud and smoke is going to come across the room. Pastor Dan's going to get up, and he's going to call out by word of knowledge exactly my condition, and he's going to wave his hand, and he's going to prophesy, and he's going to put his hand on me, and I'm going to be healed. As soon as you go like that, the Lord has to say, now praise the worship team, today's going to be dry. And Pastor Dan, you're going to have a pain that hurts while you're preaching, and you're just going to be distracted, and there'll be no word of knowledge, there'll be nothing. Just get through the word, share this scripture, which is their answer. And it'll feel dry, but dry or wet, it's still the answer. And we go away from church so disappointed. Praise and worship team, they need a new praise and worship team. The sound mix was terrible. Temperature wasn't right. Sister so-and-so looked at me funny. Pastor Dan was dry. Oh, he was dry. Crackers would have been wetter than Pastor Dan was today. It's no wonder I couldn't receive my healing today. I think I need a new church. Where in town are they having them wet services? We've all done this. Special guest minister comes, and you hope, Lord, give him a word for me. You know what it actually is? It's actually pride. Lord, you're going to meet my need, and I want you to do it this way. Then I'll know it's you. Why seek? Because it's not going to be where you think it is. You're going to have to look for it. But the Lord is gracious, and the Lord is good, and He will usually tell us, even before we look, He'll tell us before where the answer is. The more you understand this, the more you'll see God's been working this way in your life. And sometimes you've been successful, and sometimes, well, like I've been explaining, you're looking for it a certain way. Folks, don't do that. We have no right to expect God to move a particular way to meet our desires. So, and just finishing the story, his servant says, look, if he would have given you some great, big, noble task. I'm thinking of one comedy movie where a guy was supposed to, it might have been a Chris Farley movie, he was supposed to climb, get an eagle's egg or something like that. He goes through so much difficulty protecting this egg when he finally finds an eagle egg, climbs a tree, gets knocked out of a tree, all kinds of stuff, you know. Presents the eagle egg on this quest he was supposed to be on, and the guy he presents it to who sent him for the egg takes it and cracks it, and he's, what? Just need the shell. Didn't need the egg on the inside, you know, which all along he wouldn't have had to protect it the way he did. But anyway, people think often it's got to be some great, big, dramatic thing. And his servant says to Naaman, if he would have given you a difficult task, you would have traveled the world to do it. And yet here it is. We're passing by Jordan. And what does he ask you to do? Dip. Dip. To me, it's significant. Now, seven is an important number in the scriptures, but he asked him to dip seven times. Why? Because he's going to go in there and dip once and go, this is really stupid. He's going to dip a second time and go, I can't believe I'm doing this. He'll dip a third time and go, I must look like a fool. Seven times so he gets over himself. Seven times so he trusts the simplicity of the instruction of God. And when he gets back home, and everybody is marveling, you got healed. How did you get healed? Well, I dipped in the river seven times. That's it? I mean, the guy didn't come out or nothing? Nope. Well, shoot, anybody could do that. There's no glory for him. There's no glory for him. God wants to be followed in faith. Why? because it ends up all about following God, not about the accomplishments of the individual. I've been more than once convicted. Somebody says, well, how did you do that? And I'll tell them the steps I did and go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. How did you accumulate some wealth and so on? Well, I did this, this. Well, hang on a second. It started when I obeyed God and followed His word, and the blessing was upon me. And we set aside 10% in investing. Yeah, I needed that part too, but I better get that in line. That's after obedience and the blessing were upon me, right? There's no glory in it for you. Don't seek any on what you did to get your blessing. Amen. And if He tells you to dip in the dirty water 7 times, do it. 1 Kings 17:3. This is the prophet Elijah. He has a great big showdown on Mount Carmel. The 450 prophets of Baal are killed. God answers by fire and so on. And then the anointing lifts from him, and he's afraid of a woman. Sometimes what you see in a minister is the anointing, not them. And when the anointing lifts, Superman takes off his cape. Amen. But then after that, he has declared a famine in the land. And now he's running for his life and all that. But anyway, when we get to the third verse of 1 Kings 17, he says, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. He had his answer. God was going to take care of him, but he had to seek it out. Where is it? And God tells him where the blessing is. What would have happened if he didn't go to the brook Cherith? Ravens would have been bringing food every day and dropping it off, and he's not there. God would be providing. God answered yes. God's doing what he promised he would do. But Elijah has to be there. This is what we're talking about. God will give the answer, and then we better find out where to be. And it was more than once with Elijah. Now the 8th verse, after the brook dries up, the ravens stop bringing him food. Then in verse 8 of 1 Kings 17, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now who would ever have thought to go to a foreign country that a poor widow woman who's got nothing is going to take care of you? Yet that's where his blessing is. God is feeding Elijah, and he tells him, and it changes along the way, where. This is the seek stage of things. Now let's go to Luke 17 and verse 12. It says, speaking of Jesus, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, sorry, I'm not going to answer your request. Is that what it says? Come here and I'll lay hands on you. Is that what it says? No. You can see the answer is yes on their desire to be healed, but he sends them somewhere else. Go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was as they went. You see, seeking and knocking are acts of faith. The request in and of itself is not an act of faith. Maybe that's arguable, but you can see here, they don't receive the manifestation until they obey the instruction and they do what they're told, go to the priest. So their seeking process Find out where's the blessing. The blessing is go to the priest. If they wouldn't have done that, they would have stood there unchanged. Amen. Another one, John chapter 9. Now, if you'll study the miracles of Jesus, there's all different kinds of things that happen. It ranges from him saying, "Great is your faith," all the way to he simply does something, not even asked to do it. The widow of Nain, I believe it is, where they're carrying out her son, dead body. Jesus stops, had compassion, just looking at the woman, raises her son. She didn't petition, didn't ask for that. That was just something he did. And that can happen. That can happen. But it's not the norm. And it requires no faith. And yet Scripture tells us without faith, it's impossible to please him. So faith is very important. John chapter 9, verse 6, here's one occasion, ministering to the sick. It said, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Do you see, with a yes answer, there will come occasions where you are sent to where the answer is? That's even the name of the pool, sent. Yeah. Jesus, some people were healed on the spot. Some were healed as they went. Some had to go, and in his case, go to this particular pool. If he'd have gone to another pool, well, this other pool's closer. Would it have manifested his healing? No, not at all. So you can't just pick one yourself. Have to follow the instruction. He was sent. He was told where the blessing is. Once locating where the blessing is, knocking on the door is simply obeying or applying as appropriate. We see where Naaman was told, your blessing's in the Jordan, go and dip. Knocking on the door is dipping 7 times. Sent to the pool of Siloam. Knocking on the door is going to the pool and washing. For Elijah, go to the brook Cherith. Go to the widow of Zarephath. Knocking on the door is following the instructions or applying the promise or the scripture given. It could be various things. It will require a walk of faith and staying in touch with God and how you do this. You may say, okay, now, Lord, you told me where the blessing is. Now tell me, how do I knock this door down? I mean, he wants to answer these questions more than we want to ask them. Yeah. The knocking stage may be the longest in terms of time. The knocking stage may be where the greatest exercise of patience and persistence is necessary. When you have an answer and you're told where the blessing is, knocking may take years. It just depends on the circumstance and situation. And you want to make sure you never leave the door and say, well, this isn't working. And then, well, I should try again. Back and forth like that, there you have James's double-minded man. So when you know where the answer is, you knock on that door, and you knock on that door, and you kick on that door, and you get a chainsaw for that door, you get a bulldozer for that door. You just are persistent, and you don't stop, and you don't stop, and you don't stop. And you don't get double-minded about, well, maybe this wasn't the right door, once you've determined it's the right door. And you don't get double-minded about, well, maybe I need to ask again. I mean, it would be appropriate, it seems to me, to ask, okay, Lord, this door is resisting me. How do I take the next step against this door? That would be fine. Right? The number one way we knock is with our mouths. Your mouth is your knocking instrument. Your mouth is how you knock doors down. And I don't mean cuss it out. I mean speak the word. You want to rattle and shake a door, speak the word. When I see opposition in her body, something's going on, Pastor Sandy, I knock on that door and I go back. Jeremiah 30, verse 17 was God's answer and word to me. For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord. Amen. That is how you knock on the door. Every word we speak knocks on a door. This one, or it might be this one, or it might be this one. You might say, by his stripes I am healed, and knock on the right door. And then you might say, I'm not sure this is working, and you're knocking on a different door. And the enemy was happy to open that door, and that'll be the door of disappointment, the door of discouragement, the door of continued to not be healed in body. So we got to make sure if this mouth is going to open, which door is it knocking on right now? I don't think we're ever going to make it. There just ain't enough money for this. I mean, you're knocking on a door. Let's sum this up, and we'll be finished here for today. Mark 11, 24. We're going to work this scripture a little bit backwards. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. When? When? When you ask, when you pray. You receive them when? You receive them when you pray. When you pray, there's no evidence that you have received it. So you have to believe that you received it. When you pray, believe you receive, and you will have. Look, there's two tenses here. You receive in the present tense. Can you see that? When you pray, believe that you receive. You receive present tense. But when are you going to have it? You will, or in King James, you shall have. That's future tense. So you believe that you receive, or said another way, you receive it from God. You receive an answer when you pray. And if you aren't sure of that, you won't go any further. And you'll pray again. And you'll ask again. And you'll ask again. But the Lord is like, I said yes every time. Come on. Believe you receive when you pray. When you ask, and future tense, you will have. So it depends when we ask, you know, do you have your blessing? Well, are we talking about I've received it by faith? The answer is, well, yeah, I prayed. Having the material thing, if it is a material thing, in your hand, oh, that's shall. That's will. I don't have it yet. Well, then you don't have it. Yes, I have it. I own it. I don't yet possess it. There's a difference. Pastor Webb does a great teaching on this, the difference between ownership and possession. You own it as soon as you ask and receive. Possessing, that's after seeking and knocking. So, you see it very clearly in the two tenses here. Believe you receive when you pray, and you will have. So, Jesus told us how to knock in the verses before. Because when it gets to therefore, you always ask, what is it therefore? Again, it's a summation. Jesus in verse 24 sums up what he was teaching in 22 and 23. Therefore. So if we work it backwards, we have the answer. Now what's the question? The question is, how do you knock? How do you seek and how do you knock? Verse 22 of Mark 11. says this, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Or said another way, it can be translated this way. It can be translated, have the faith of God. Or in today's terms, we might say it this way, have the God kind of faith. Or say it another way, operate like God does. Do it the way God does it. And he tells us how. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, remember your mouth is your knocker. The mountain is the situation or the door, the problem. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Why can't you doubt? Well, you had to know that you already received. If you're not sure you already received, you'll doubt. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says. How can you have confidence in what you're saying? Because you already know you've got the answer. God already gave it to you. Believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. When we ask, we receive. Then we may be sent to seek. And it will likely be an instruction. Do this. Or take up this scripture. And it could be a wide variety of things. We may get out of step with God a little bit. We may be in the wrong place and doing the wrong things. Maybe the wrong job. It may be the wrong church. It could be all kinds of things where he wants us to get it. It could be walking in any kind of unforgiveness, as a for instance. Jesus just shortly, the next verse, like the 25th, I don't have it here in front of me, 25th, does he talk about forgiving? Yes, the 25th verse is about forgiving. Well, he may tell you your blessing is in forgiving. The answer is yes, but if you don't forgive, that's where the blessing is. It's in forgiving. And, you know, even if you can't forgive because it's the right thing to do, at least forgive so you don't have hindrance to your blessing. Right? Well, all right, if you tell me to forgive, I guess I will. That may not be quite right, but anyway. How, when you know where the mountain is, you knock on a door with your mouth by speaking. You say things, you know, like, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And it's okay to use the verses and scriptures as you know them, but be sensitive and be looking for one that he'll quicken to you. This is one of the reasons you should be a Bible reader every day. Because there's things that, you know, I just have a good habit of reading every day, and I'm reading along, and boom, there's an answer. There's a scripture. And now I know where a blessing is that I've been seeking for some time. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And I see it. There it is. Now I take that scripture, I knock on that door, and we got that problem solved. But if you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to run across those things. You're not giving the Lord an opportunity to quicken this to your heart and to show you and so on. Praise the Lord. And even when we're with friends and other people and other believers, when we talk, how we talk about a problem, I have this issue, you may hear an answer from God out of the mouth of your companion. And when you hear it, pick it up. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's where the answer is. Now I've located it. Now I'm going to use that scripture or that word, and that's how I'm going to knock on the door. The devil doesn't tremble at the sight of you or me. He trembles at the speaking of the word. He's not impressed with me unless I'm standing in faith on the word and I speak the word. Now, how many times might you speak the word over yourself? How many times might you knock on that door? Oh, hundreds, thousands, if you're going to persist. And it depends on the size of that mountain, too. There may be big, big things that need moving. And I just, as I already shared a story, I just resolved concerning Pastor Sandy being able to pull her feet and ankles back into the right position. Well, that would be a miracle because it doesn't happen. Yeah, I know. That's a mountain. Well, I spoke to that mountain on the way here. And how often am I going to speak to that mountain? I just keep right on until she's standing flat on her feet. I'm not asking again. I'm not even seeking because I know where the answer is. I know the scripture he gave us. That is my weapon. And that's what every time I speak it, I damage that door more. Amen. Every time I speak it. Praise God. And it's not a formula of how many times you say something. It's simply being immovable, being persistent, and I don't care how long. I will keep speaking to that mountain. I will keep knocking that door. And as Jesus said, you will have what you say. In another place where the same words are recorded, and an example where he says, speak to the sycamore tree, it says this, the tree, it says, it shall obey you. And there are things in my life that are not yet accomplished, and I'm going to keep knocking, I'm going to keep saying the word, I'm going to keep using my mouth, and it shall obey me. Amen. Well, I kind of have a peace in my heart that we've covered what seeking is.
Praise the Lord.
And what knocking is. Yes. And maybe the most significant of this whole teaching these 3 weeks now is this. Boy, know that when you asked, you received, and you moved to the next two stages. Because the enemy will cloud the issue and have you right back to asking, 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 asking. No wonder that's not working. That's not how these things work. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many realize you've asked for some things and you already got a yes answer from God? And now it's seeking and knocking. Now it's seeking and knocking. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and bless you for this word today. You are the revealer of secrets by your Holy Ghost. You are the Spirit of truth. And Father, you reveal and show these things that we might have good success. We thank you for this, Father, now as we solve issues and problems, and all of it brings glory. May you be glorified and magnified. May there be great testimony and no reluctance to share what God has done for people. Father, we thank you for this revelation and light. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. We'll see you all next week.